Chapter 15. Ariane wasn't sure if she was more nervous about having her ledgers inspected or about the person who was coming to inspect them. How would Baron Carver behave in the house of the man he had killed? Surely his disguise as David Harper hadn't tamed the wild heart of the man who had so passionately challenged her late husband to a duel and then shot him dead. As the Queen had said, the man's disappointments in love and marriage might have driven him a little mad. And madness and passion never mixed well. She had received word that he had arrived in town late the night before and would come early the next morning. She had arisen early and breakfasted before everyone else, and then ordered Mr. Garvis to fetch the ledgers and a table and bring them to the drawing room. He had just finished the task when Ariane heard horse hooves clattering up the lane. She went to the drawing room window and pulled aside the curtain, and there he was, riding up to the house with the easy grace of an experienced rider. No matter how hard she tried, she could not fit the sober, bearded face with the clean-shaven and fiery lord that had taken her husband from her. A little of the anger she had felt about the disastrous events of nearly 4 years ago surfaced, briefly, though she realized that she had turned that anger toward the general idiocy of menfolk in general, rather than Baron Carver specifically. But her curiosity easily drowned out any lingering anger. Just how unhinged was the Baron? Would he behave in some unseemly way? Surely, if he had been able to keep employment in the Queen's household, he was at least stable. Whatever her confused feelings or his emotional state, she was determined to act the perfect hostess and gentlewoman, showing this wild man from the North Country wilderness what proper behaviour and manners were about. She heard Mr. Garvis let Baron Carver in and poised herself by the table where the ledgers sat, composing her face, standing tall, and clasping her hands together. A few moments later, Mr. Garvis introduced her guest as Mr. David Harper, underclerk to the Queen. And he entered. Baron Carver bowed and then turned his gaze toward the table. "Are those the ledgers?" he asked. "Yes," she said. Ariane measured him up, finding it hard to read him. Garvis was still carrying the round hat and long leather coat that Baron Carver had been wearing at Harwickshire. Mr. Harper, dressed plainly in brown pants and a brown jacket, though his beard made him look a little wild for his civilized clothing. He walked to the table, lifting one of the ledgers and examining the cover. "If you prefer, I am perfectly comfortable working in the office of your steward or clerk. I fear I'll be a nuisance here in the main part of the house."
"It's just the servants and I here today, Mr. Harper," she said. He refused to meet her eye, always finding somewhere else to look. "Please don't hesitate to ask Mr. Garvis or any of the servants should you need anything."
"Thank you, Lady Hightower," he said, before taking a seat at the table. "I shall begin immediately." She nodded and left, pleased that this first encounter had passed without trial. He was uncomfortable, to be sure, but she felt more at ease. This little ordeal would pass smoothly, he would leave, and she would never again have to bother with troublesome ledgers or Davon Carver. And so she thought, until her mother, Dahlia, Countess of Brighton, and her sister Elaine arrived unannounced an hour later. No sooner had Dahlia discovered that Mr. David Harper, underclerk to the Queen, was there than she wished to go sit in the drawing room at once, despite Ariane's attempts to steer her elsewhere. For the next hour, Ariane fought to keep her composure. Her mother had little care for the feelings of those of a lower station than herself, and she persisted in throwing their visitor dissatisfied looks and cutting comments at every opportunity. The Countess of Brighton was a severe, proud woman, and Ariane remembered fearing her disdainful looks and haughty criticism when she still lived at home. Dahlia had aged greatly in the last few years, her blonde hair turning silver and the cracks around the frown lines of her mouth deepening. The cutting comments were still the same, however, though perhaps rendered more sour by a long fermentation in a lifetime of ill will. As for Baron Carver, he sat at the table piled high with the stacks of ledgers, seemingly unperturbed by Dahlia's comments. Ariane kept waiting for him to snap in a fit of rage, but as yet he seemed the most controlled person in the room.
"He's so brown," Dahlia lamented. "He doesn't fit the room at all. It's as if some woodsman leaned a big woolly log in the chair and simply left."
Elaine, Ariane's youngest sister of 16 years, giggled at the comment. Ariane shot her a disapproving look, wondering what their guest must think of them all. All of Ariane's plans to show Davon Carver the genteel and civilized nature of Belshire nobility were crumbling with every rude remark from the Countess's mouth. The Queen had said that Davon had shunned the society of the Belshire court, and surely the Countess of Brighton was helping him feel that he had been justified in that decision. Ariane's quick look to the desk revealed Baron Carver's amused half-grin as he flipped a page and continued his calculations. Her mother was correct on one point. The drawing room was done in white and gold and glass, and Baron Carver's dark complexion and dull, earth-coloured clothing were a bit out of place. But to Ariane's mind, he appeared more as a woolly bear in a field of snow, rather than a forgotten tree trunk in a manor house.
"Really, Mother," Ariane admonished loudly so Baron Carver could hear, "try to be courteous to my house guests, will you?"
She fanned herself briskly, feeling a bit warm with the exertion of keeping herself controlled. Dahlia simply harrumphed and turned her attention back to her tea. Elaine rose and wandered by the windows, gazing dreamily outside before stealing behind Baron Carver. She kept a safe distance, but squinted in an attempt to get a look at what he was doing. Ariane bit her lip. Would this intrusion be the final provocation that sent Baron Carver into an apoplectic fit? The fair-haired Elaine had grown up with a vain, self-centred mother and a distant, acerbic father. Unlike her older siblings, Elaine's nature was much more impressionable and compliant, and Ariane feared her younger sister would develop the unfortunate aloof disdain her parents had tried to cultivate in all their children. Baron Carver, apparently realising he was under watch, smiled and turned toward Elaine. "Do you have a question, miss?" Elaine, surprised by the sudden attention, blushed. But Baron Carver's warm face worked its soothing effect upon her. Ariane watched with interest, noticing Dahlia frowning at the pair. How could Davon be so accommodating and serene after so much nettling from her mother?
"I don't mean to intrude," Elaine said, stepping a little closer.
"I believe I'm the intruder here, miss.
What is it that you would like to know?"
Elaine, put at ease by his inviting manner, walked up to the desk and scanned the open ledger for a moment.
"This looks like a shopping list," she commented at last.
"It is, after a fashion," Baron Carver explained,
"but this is a list made after the shopping is done that shows what was bought here and what it cost there. You total it all up, and then here you can see how much a nice dinner of fish, ham, briar squash, bread and wine cost the family. Quite simple, really."
"Looks boring to me," Elaine said.
"It is dreadfully tedious, dear," Dahlia commented haughtily. "Why don't you come away and leave Mr. Harper to his dull work?"
"It is important, Elaine," Ariane pitched in.
"Why?"
Elaine asked, remaining by Baron Carver's side.
"Why should Mr. Harper care how much you spent on fish?"
While Ariane searched for a reply, Baron Carver jumped in.
"Well, miss, I was about your age when I had to start doing figures like this, and I learned a very important lesson. Money not watched is money wasted. You see, it's like a boy given a little purse of money to go to town to buy a pair of shoes. Along the way he sees a candy shop. He really likes candy, so he spends 2 shillings on a fistful of peppermint sticks. Then he sees some boys playing dice, and he loses 3 shillings gambling. Then, being hungry, he stops and spends 1 shilling for a meal."
"So he has spent 6 shillings,
Elaine reported confidently.
"Very good, miss," Baron Carver praised her. "Now, do you remember why he was in town?"
"Of course, to buy shoes."
"Good," Baron Carver continued. "Does he have enough money left to buy the shoes?"
Elaine's eyes rolled up in thought.
"I don't know. You never said how much he had in his purse."
"Correct. But I didn't say how much the shoes cost either, and that's the point. If you don't know how much you have, and you don't know what you need, you'll never know how much you can spend, and one winter you'll wind up without a good pair of shoes."
"But you'll have peppermint sticks,"
Baron Carver chuckled, a good-natured sound.
"Yes, indeed, that you would have."
Elaine turned and leaned against the edge of the desk.
"But Mother says we're rich. Surely all that scratching about is more important for you poorer folk."
"Elaine!"
Ariane exclaimed, afraid Baron Carver would take offence. But he simply smiled again.
"Not so, young miss," he said. "When you have very little money, you get to know every farthing on a first-name basis. It's the well-to-do folk that can get a little careless at times. They have so much money they think it will never run out.
But believe me, it does. The world has invented a lot of ways to try to pry money out of rich people such as you.
Dahlia leaned forward, eyes stony.
Such as pay for petty underclerks to pointlessly audit ledgers kept by honourable and competent men. Come away, Elaine, this instant. Let's leave Mr. Harper to his work. The sooner he's done, the sooner we'll be rid of him.
Ariane winced. She would have to vacate the room and take her mother with her. Baron Carver's seemingly limitless tolerance for rude behaviour had to have an end somewhere, and if any woman could find it, the Countess of Brighton could. He'd probably rather do his work with one leg in a bear trap than with the Countess in the room.
Elaine pushed herself away from the desk with a sigh, smoothing her light yellow dress.
I wish I had a peppermint stick.
Then you are in luck, miss, Baron Carver said brightly, reaching into his coat pocket and producing the desired candy. Elaine squealed indecorously with delight and took the proffered sweet. She pecked Baron Carver on the cheek, eliciting a shocked gasp from her mother. More interesting to Ariane, however, was the change on Baron Carver's face. The young girl's kiss softened his expression and elicited a wistful smile. He quickly cleared his throat and jumped back into his examination of the ledger. Ariane had a hard time not staring at him, realizing something for the first time. Baron Carver was, even if by choice, utterly alone. When she and the Queen had reviewed his history together, they had only considered that he had left behind an estate and a hateful wife when he had changed into David Harper. Until now, Ariane hadn't thought that he had also left behind any relations and any friends he might have had. The Queen had alluded to how society in general had shunned him after his parents' shocking deaths, and how, without guidance or guardian, he had lived many years by himself as he fought to recover his good name and his fortune. Add to this marrying a woman who wouldn't spare a glance for him, and Ariane began to understand why Elaine's simple act of gratitude could engender such a profound reaction in the man. Odder still, Ariane considered, was that despite his poor circumstances, he did not seem to pity himself or even act in any way to invite it. While himself a stranger to companionship and affection, he had taken time to answer a young girl's questions without irritation or impatience, despite being the target of abuse the entire morning. Could this be the same fiery man who had killed her husband? Was all this humble pleasantness just part of his disguise? There seemed nothing wild or mad about him at all. No one in the room besides her knew the torturous journey the man sitting in her drawing room had taken. For him to have passed through so much bitterness, and to still be so kind, made no sense. Surely his warmth had to be some kind of an act, a facade like his beard and glasses, to throw people off the scent of who he really was.
Are you quite all right, Ariane? Her mother asked.
Ariane snapped out of her reverie.
Quite all right, I assure you. It must be near lunch, missa?
Yes, my lady.
Could you tell Garvis that we'll take lunch in the dining room presently?
Yes.
Should you like to join us, Mr. Harper?
She asked, hoping he would, despite the company. She wanted to get the measure of him.
You are very gracious, Lady Hightower, he said, rubbing his eyes, but I think I will take my food outside and explore your fine gardens and grounds for a while, if you don't mind.
Yes, please, Dahlia grumbled. Let us alone for a while.
Ariane turned to her mother.
Do not insult Mr. Harper again, Lady Brighton. I will not have the hospitality of my house put into question by my own mother. Missa, please inform the kitchen staff to bring Mr. Harper's lunch to the gardens.
Missa curtsied and left quickly, fleeing the tension thick in the room. It took Dahlia until they arrived at the dining room before her tongue returned. Ariane steeled herself. If Baron Carver could bear her mother with equanimity, then she would try to imitate him. Fortunately, Dahlia's conversation turned toward lace and furniture, both tried and true topics meant to steer the conversation away from anything that might cause an argument. Elaine sat by Ariane's side, the two of them facing the windows. While they ate a meal of cold ham, bread, and vegetables, Ariane caught sight of Baron Carver and concealed a smile. Thinking himself alone and unobserved, his stoop and slight limp had disappeared as he soaked in the early afternoon sun among the blooming violet lilacs. His spectacles had conveniently disappeared as well.
May I be excused, Ariane, please? Elaine asked after she had finished.
Of course, my dear.
To Ariane's surprise,
Elaine appeared outside the windows a short time later, and she approached Baron Carver, timidly. He sat on a low wall with his back to them, working at something Ariane couldn't see. He glanced up at her sister's approach, and in moments the two were talking back and forth. Ariane was thankful Dahlia's back was to them, or she would likely have forced Elaine to return inside rather than sully herself in conversation with a commoner.
"And so," Dahlia said, wiping her mouth with a napkin, "as I was saying, the styles of lace coming out of the south are too plain. It's as if all their best artisans have died and a troop of amateur hacks have taken over the whole business. Some of the lace I've seen is little better than what you might find on a milkmaid's dress."
"Mm-hmm," Ariane fumbled to feign attention. Baron Carver was entertaining Elaine with some sort of a wild story by the way he was gesticulating. He pantomimed holding a gun at one point, and Elaine, who stood with her profile to the window, alternated between wide grins and expressions of surprise. Baron Carver had something in his hand that Ariane couldn't quite make out, and at one point in the story he used it as a prop, inching it slowly toward Elaine's face.
"And I was just telling Lady Mulford," Dahlia spouted on, "that I would refuse to buy anything from the southern warehouses until they had quite rectified the situation. Such a lack of taste might do for those wild southern nobles, but we in the north demand more in the way of elegance and craft."
"Mm-hmm." Whatever Baron Carver had been holding, he had given to Elaine, who had lavished a quick hug upon him before sitting with him on the wall in a most unladylike display. Baron Carver's large frame dwarfed her thin, short one. His lunch arrived shortly after, and he appeared to launch into more stories while he ate. The sun shone down pleasantly on the green grass and the creeping vines and flowers, and Ariane envied them both a great deal as Dahlia continued to punish her with more conversation about clothing.
"Though I must say," Dahlia continued, "that I did receive the most delightful fabric from Wickersham's just the week before I travelled here. Very tight weave, very soft, and the way it falls is just delicious. I had thought to bring you some so you might have a dress sewn for yourself. It's a nice red and would, I think, go a long way toward attracting a certain earl's attention."
"Mm-hmm.
Ariane, dear?"
"Yes, mother?"
Dahlia shot her a questioning look.
"Did you hear what I just said?"
Ariane focused her attention back on her mother.
"About the lace?"
"No," Dahlia exclaimed. "About the red cloth and the dress to attract a certain earl's attention."
"Oh, I am sorry. I'm a bit distracted this afternoon. I think the certain earl is already attracted to my money and my estate, so I doubt I need any further device there."
"Has he proposed yet?"
her mother asked with arched eyebrows.
"Are you keeping it a secret?"
Ariane wiped her mouth and stood. She wasn't hungry any more.
"He has not, really. Now if you'll—"
"I do believe he's been to see your father this month."
Ariane sighed. The marriage made perfect sense in terms of alliances and family connections, but so had her last one. She wasn't the ignorant girl she was before, and she wasn't willing to simply go along with her family's wishes just to satisfy them. 3 years as an independent woman taught her to use her judgment to better her own situation as she saw fit, and she wasn't yet sure how or if the Earl fit into her plans.
"Well, that is interesting news, Mum. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to check on a few things before Mr. Harper returns to work."
Ariane had intended on finding Elaine outside, but before Missa could bring her shawl, Elaine met her in the entryway.
"Look at this, Ariane," she said excitedly, holding up a figurine the length of an ear of corn.
Ariane took it. It was an exquisitely carved likeness of a sabre cat, crouched as if to pounce.
"He carved it himself. Isn't it wonderful? He's seen direwolves and sabre cats and long-horned bison and all kinds of things."
Ariane grinned at her sister. Baron Carver couldn't have given his gift to a more grateful recipient.
"Is that my Elaine?"
Dahlia's voice said from somewhere near the dining room. Elaine's face fell.
"Can you hide this, Ariane?" she whispered. "Mother would never approve."
Ariane grabbed Elaine's shawl and wrapped the sabre cat in it.
"I'll bring it to your room later," she said with a wink, "and wipe off the back of your dress. It looks like you've been sitting in the dirt."
The door opened again and Baron Carver stepped in, removing his hat but reaffixing his useless glasses. He bowed.
"I'd best keep at the ledgers," he said, Elaine beaming at him as he walked by.
He nearly collided with Dahlia as she turned a corner into the entryway, but after a quick bow he escaped her sour look and disappeared into the house.
"Shall we return to the drawing room and keep an eye on the underclerk?" Dahlia said. "It's best not to leave low folk alone in a room. You never know what might be missing when you return."
Ariane regarded her mother for a moment. She really could be an intolerable beast.
"No, Mother. I've got something else in mind."